District 87 firms up plans for older students to return to school, but not until next year.
We should have very limited, if any, transmissions during the school day.
That's Superintendent Barry Riley. I'm Dana Vollmer, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Thursday, October 15th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now, let's lead off with back-to-school plans in District 87. Ryan Denham has more.
Superintendent Barry Riley announced District 87 will resume in-school instruction in a hybrid format as an option for students in grades 7 through 12, starting in January. Riley says bringing students back to Bloomington Junior High and Bloomington High School during the fall semester would disrupt the class schedule. He says the district will try to reduce the time students spend in hallways and other areas where they may gather.
We're working to minimize the amount of transition, so the schedule obviously will look a little bit different. We might not have 7 periods in a day.
Riley says other large school districts have prevented coronavirus outbreaks by enforcing masks and social distancing rules.
The bottom line is if we adhere to those, do our jobs well, which I'm confident we will, we should have very limited, if any, transmissions here during the school day.
The district begins hybrid learning for pre-K through second grade on October 26th. Nearly 30% of those students will stay with all virtual instruction. Some parents voiced concerns to the school board last night about the district's plans. Parent Treasure Davis says she thinks with COVID cases on the rise and flu season around the corner, now is not the best time to open elementary schools either. And Davis fears switching to a hybrid model before winter break wreaks havoc on grade schoolers' routines.
It also means that these class communities that have been built since the beginning of this semester will be torn apart.
Grades 3 through 6 will begin in-person instruction starting November 9th. Parents have until today to opt out of that. The other district in Bloomington Normal, Unit 5, will send its students back in person starting Monday. Unlike District 87, its older students will also return this fall. I'm Ryan Denham.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. McLean County health officials announced 44 new cases of the coronavirus Wednesday as the county's 7-day testing positivity rate reached its highest level in 5 weeks. ISU trustees will consider a contract to use space in 2 hotels to house any potential overflow of students who become sick or exposed to the coronavirus. Chestnut Health Systems of Bloomington conducted an exercise to test its preparedness to administer a COVID-19 vaccine when it becomes available. And the Normal Public Library has reopened to the public after being closed for 7 months. Patrons are encouraged to make it quick, with visits limited to an hour or less. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Some frontline workers in this coronavirus pandemic are people you never see, but you may hear from them. Health experts say contact tracers are crucial to containing the spread of COVID-19, but only if the public cooperates. As Eric Stock reports, it can get personal and sometimes political.
After Ava Roper of Bloomington got her public health degree from the University of Illinois in May, she wanted to put it to good use. She saw the McLean County Health Department needed contact tracers, those who get information from those who have tested positive for the coronavirus so they can call those who may have come in contact with them so they can get tested in quarantine. Roper joined the staff with more than a dozen others and had to learn on the fly.
I would say it's been hectic because we kind of just all started. We were all kind of thrown into this. I mean, one of the things about COVID is that, you know, we're still learning. Everyone's still learning. The CDC is still learning.
Roper now trains new contact tracers. So does Gaynette Hoskins of Bloomington. Hoskins now handles case investigations. Those calls are more probing because they need more detailed information.
You have to be a little bit more in there, like, like in their business, who were you around? Think back on this day, like what was going on? Do you remember if you went outside? Was there someone in the store with you?
Many people don't want to give their personal information over the phone to a stranger. Lynell Greenberg of Normal works in the health department's communicable disease clinic. Since COVID, she's become a full-time contact tracer. Greenberg says she's learned it helps if you can quickly connect with that stranger to build trust.
Either as a mom or someone who works full-time or someone who lives in this community who might have used their services in the past, I try and break that wall down very quickly so that I can get them talking with me and understanding that we're here to serve them.
Sometimes even that doesn't work. They often hang up or give out wrong information because they don't want the health department bothering them or they have financial concerns. Stacy Hirsch of Tawanda is a health department nurse who has been doing contact tracing for a year and a half. Hirsch says sometimes the resistance comes from business owners who are afraid they may have to take workers off the job or temporarily close because of a potential COVID exposure.
If they're forthcoming, they'll give us all those contact people. It's just their employers not wanting to necessarily have their staff forced to quarantine. That could be the issue.
Gaynette Hoskins says there's another segment of the population that may not be forthcoming. She says she has to reassure immigrants their personal information won't somehow be used to deport them.
Because they are concerned, like, what does this mean moving forward, things to that nature. And I just want to know, like, I honestly just want you all to be safe.
Some of the pushback contact tracers get is from COVID skeptics. Lynell Greenberg says she never gets anywhere with them.
We see this as a medical issue and as a community issue, but unfortunately politics, because of the election year, has really entered into this.
Melissa Graven oversees the contact tracing program for the McLean County Health Department. She says compliance has gotten worse since the pandemic began.
There is a portion of the community that has an inherent distrust in government, so that's why allaying those fears and building a quick connection is such a valid and important skill to have as a contact tracer.
I'm Eric Stock.
You can hear more of this story at WGLT.org and the next story in our contact tracing series tonight at 5 on Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, the Bloomington Cultural Commission is meeting this morning. On the agenda is discussion about the Public Arts Commission. Also meeting today at 5 is Bloomington's Historic Preservation Commission. On the agenda there is nomination and designation of the State Farm Building. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute now at WGLT.org.